At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Karan.
Hey guys.
For a special episode, we don't have Vishal around to do our regular Premier League roundup or our regular episode. So we are doing back-to-back episodes with our European correspondent, that is Karan. And two-thirds of the panel. For the Premier League episode, which is really about only a couple of games because we are coming to the business end of the Premier League, Karan, and we are as close to knowing who the title winner might be as we were at the start of the season.
Yeah, pretty much. And in fact, the business end is in itself an understatement. It's more like, you know, the company's kind of getting ready to submit their accounts at the year end.
And all the I's need to be dotted and the T's need to be crossed. Speaking of those, we want to focus on, of course, the two big results from the weekend. It was Manchester City's turn first. They still have played one game less than Liverpool, but they were trailing by a couple of points when they took on Crystal Palace, and it did not take too long for them to get going. A team that looked like it meant business. And I mean, surely we have discussed this before, Karan. Surely we're not expecting Crystal Palace to pull off a double over Manchester City, which under current circumstances counts as, if you can make them drop points in both games, that technically counts as a double. But it only lasted 10 minutes before Raheem Sterling broke through and scored a spectacular goal to put them ahead. And they really did not look back. 3-1 win. Expected result, Karan, because you were kind of hoping Palace would make City drop points.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of hoping for that. I mean, City certainly showed me that. But the main thing was, I just felt that, you know, considering what City had just along the horizon with the clash against Spurs in the Champions League, considering that they're trailing in that particular tie in itself, you know, I just felt that probably there was a chance that maybe, you know, I wouldn't say City would take their foot off the gas, but you know, there was that possibility that, you know, Crystal Palace could have that little bit of a gap through which, you know, they could exploit. But City certainly, you know, showed how good they are and showed their professionalism. And Sterling has just been on a different level in recent months. So I think hats off to them. Although, having said that, they did make it towards the end of the game. They did kind of make it a bit harder than what it should have been. They had a bit of a scare when Crystal Palace scored, and they pretty much, you know, kind of, there was a period of about 5 to 6 minutes where there was a possibility that maybe Crystal Palace could have maybe, you know, pushed for an equaliser as well. But then City were basically having none of that.
So those clinical 3 points assured that put City temporarily in the lead in the table. And then Liverpool had to play their game in hand, or rather Liverpool had to play their game this week. And that game, of course, was against Chelsea at Anfield. And if there is a clash that does not need reminding in terms of history, in terms of what's gone on with the clash beforehand, in terms of the rivalry of these two teams, I mean, surely it is Liverpool and Chelsea. And surely it is particularly Chelsea playing Liverpool at Anfield. Especially after 2014, when that famed slip from Steven Gerrard potentially ended up costing Liverpool the title, although I will still maintain it was perhaps those drop points at Crystal Palace that had a role to play too.
I second that. Plus the draw against West Brom, plus the draw against Hull.
Actually, the Hull game was a defeat. But
Even worse.
But that was early in the season. But We are not here to talk about the what-if scenarios, Karan. We are here to talk about what happened at Anfield yesterday. And what happened at Anfield yesterday was pretty straightforward. Liverpool 2, Chelsea 0. A first-half performance that wasn't extremely confident. Liverpool did look shaky at places, but then they just lit up for those 5 to 10 minutes in the second half when everything happened, and we'll of course break those down in a moment. But the sheer intensity of the occasion and this feeling that there was something that needed to be exercised out of Anfield, this Chelsea voodoo, was exactly the feeling that fueled the performance. One of the most intense performances Liverpool have had all season, not in terms of the technicality, but in terms of what they had to put out mentally to make sure they got past Chelsea.
I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head, because, I mean, this is a Liverpool team this season that have put in scintillating performances against team like Bayern, against a team like PSG, Manchester United, etc., right? But still, this is the performance that really stands out for me in my eyes, because it wasn't just about the fact that they won 2-0, or it wasn't just the fact that, you know, it was a manner in which the goals were scored, etc., but the sheer pressure and the weight of expectations and the weight of history that was associated with this clash really kind of, you know, added that extra spice to this particular fixture. And, you know, and the Liverpool team, let's face it, compared to City, compared to some of the other teams in the EPL, it's still a relatively inexperienced side. You still have a lot of kids in the squad, but they really stepped up and they showed what they were about. And honestly, I think this is just going to hold Liverpool in good stead, not just for this season, but for the coming seasons as well, if they can kind of replicate this kind of performances in such situations.
And because you're putting those seasons in perspective, or you're talking about multiple seasons in the longer arc of what this does, it was just incredible poetic justice that initially it was Sadio Mane who scored the first goal. It was Jordan Henderson who made that goal possible with a fantastic cross there. You were not so sure, Karan, initially about Henderson's inclusion in the squad, but again, just like he did last week, where he scored an important goal away, he again showed his value as player and captain. Even though, again, he was not necessarily technically perfect, but he played enough of a holding role and played in enough balls into the area to give Liverpool that supply that they needed to make something out of it. And of course, speaking of the second goal, nobody needed to supply that one.
that was straight from the sarcophagus of Stamford Bridge. I mean, that was an absolute wonder strike if there ever was one. But we'll get to that in a bit. But coming back to your point about Henderson, right? I mean, I think it's fair to say that this group over here, we always tend to get a little nervous when we see the name Henderson on a Liverpool team sheet before the game starts. But I think all the trolling and the joking aside, on his day, he is still capable of being one of the most dependable players that Liverpool have. And not just from a technical point of view, but from a leadership point of view. Because he was there. He was one of those players who was there, you know, 5 years back when, you know, Liverpool came so agonizingly close.
And he was one of the players who missed this exact fixture because of the card earlier.
In fact, I still remember the clash. It was against Manchester City. They had pretty much kind of, you know, won the game. There were hardly a few couple of minutes left, and he goes and kind of, you know, commits a needless, reckless foul and gets himself sent off. So, I mean, he himself had a few personal demons to kind of exercise in this fixture. But that aside, I think coming back to Henderson's contribution in the game, I think he added a lot. Like you said, you know, he just kept, you know, playing. He just kept playing the percentages, kept crossing the ball in, because he knew that, you know, eventually the front three were good enough to kind of get on the back of something and then, you know, score the goal. And it was just a matter of, you know, Liverpool scoring one goal, and then after that, the floodgates would open up. And when it came to Salah's goal, there's, like you said, there's nothing really much we can say about it, because that was an absolute scorcher of a goal.
And that scorcher of a goal came from Salah, of course, at the edge of the area, unleashing an absolute rocket that the Chelsea goalie did not even spot until it had probably hit the back of the net.
Trust me, if he had spotted that, if he had put his hand up, he would have gone in with...
Like somebody pointed out later on, that it's a good thing there were nets around, because otherwise people in the cop end could have gotten injured with the ferocity of that shot. And of course, the poetic justice of it being Salah, who had been racially abused by Chelsea fans, which became a huge controversy midweek. Salah himself, a former Chelsea player. So all of those things coming together for Liverpool's first win over Chelsea at Anfield since 2012. And that is a significant number. 7 years that they have not been able to beat Chelsea at Anfield. To break the hoodoo, to get to 85 points with four games in hand, which means they technically can get to 97 points. And of course, they might still end up not winning the league, but it is extraordinary and phenomenal that they might end up with their highest haul in English First Division history.
It just shows the level at which both Manchester City and Liverpool have been this season. I mean, they've just been a cut above the rest of the pack. I mean, whichever team loses, it is going to be a record points tally for a team that's finished second. There's no question about it. I mean, it's
yes, because in the Premier League, the record, by the way, is 89, which was that absolutely, well, Vishal would say, ill-fated 2012 season when Manchester United finished with that many.
the fact that, you know, either City or Liverpool, whichever team loses, the fact that they're going to be in the latter half of the 90s in terms of points is just extraordinary to even think, because the Premier League is not the Serie A or the Bundesliga or, you know, that other league where, you know, the sheikh comes and, pumps his money into it, right? But the fact that this is the most competitive league in the world, and there's a reason for it, because each team have a certain amount of quality which they know they kind of approach the game, and to kind of have such a points tally, and not just one team but for two teams to have such a points tally, is an extraordinary achievement. I just hope personally that, you know, what we've been hoping for the entire season does kind of materialize at some point of time, but, you know, I still will not say it.
So that scenario that shall not be named might play out, but it will depend, of course, Karan, on the run-ins of the two teams. And you had some thoughts about the run-in now, given that Liverpool have gotten Chelsea out of the way.
Absolutely. I think to start off with, what I'd like to say is, just prior to yesterday's game, I was just thinking to myself, in regards to Liverpool, just get done with this game, and then after that, I think, you know, your run-in can kind of, you can concentrate on the remaining games that you have in terms of your run, because this was the biggest stumbling block that Liverpool had, considering that they've reached this far. Because after this, the four games that they have left, three of them are against teams in the bottom five, right? Fair enough, they have to go away to Newcastle, who have been quite the team in form, especially at home, but the other two are against, you know, teams that are fighting for relegation, which in fairness will not be a straightforward task. But I think one of them is against Huddersfield, who are already relegated, if I'm not mistaken. And after that, they kind of round off the season with a home game against Wolves. And at Anfield, you have to back Liverpool. There's no question about it. Now, I know a few weeks back in one of the episodes, I mentioned that with about 10 or 12 games left, I did mention that, you know, Manchester City, and this is a time when Tottenham were technically still in the title race, Manchester City had the best run-in. Because from a 10-game perspective, when you looked at it, Manchester City had the most favourable fixtures. But what Liverpool have done is they have just hung in there and hung in there and hung in there, and to an extent where now, with when you look at that same scenario with a shorter, range of four games or five games,
or five games as the case is Chelsea, City.
Liverpool, in fact, have the better end of season fixtures, because now with City, yes, they have a game in hand, but that one game in hand is at Old Trafford, and next they have to play Spurs at home twice, if you include the clash in the Champions League. And having said, and City pretty much round their season off away at Brighton, who could still be in a relegation top fight at that point of time, away from home. And in a high-pressure scenario, last day of the season, when two teams are basically, you know, kind of waiting for the other to slip up just so that, you know, they could sneak into the title, I would honestly prefer to play at home. I know yesterday you reminded me of a little bit of a history lesson where things didn't go quite well in regards to Liverpool.
Of all teams, Liverpool, who were playing at home and just needed to keep Arsenal goalless. They almost did for the entire time until Arsenal scored in the dying minutes. Arsenal needed a 2-0 win to win the league, and they did win the league, of course. But I mean, coming back to your point, Wolves are not exactly coming to Anfield to beat Liverpool to take the title, so it's a very different scenario here than the
Absolutely.
Than the one 30 years ago. So Karan,
yeah, I would still prefer to be in Liverpool's shoes right now, because simply because of the kind of fixtures that City have, and this is not even considering the fact that, you know, with these five games that City have, and even considering that they can be away from home in the last of the season, they will also have one eye on the next weekend when they'll have an FA Cup finals to kind of, you know, put up with. And for all you know, both these teams are also going to, there's a very good chance that both these teams are going to make it to the semi-finals of the Champions League, and there is a high possibility that both of them are going to have some pretty tough fixtures in that competition as well. So it's quite an intriguing scenario when it comes to Liverpool, and like you mentioned in our Champions League episode, there is still very much the possibility with Liverpool and City kind of, you know, basically slugging it out in the Premier League, that both of them could still kind of, you know, face each other in Madrid,
and that would be a classic end to this season that has been relentless. But to be fair, two teams who have been relentless, and whatever way it turns out, will of course be bringing it all to you, although it is mentally exhausting to be keeping up with all this stuff.
Tell me about it.
But we shall of course be faithfully bringing all that to you on Soccer Sense. We'll be breaking all that down for you. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. You can subscribe to our podcast on any of the podcasting platforms that you use. We are there on Google Podcast, we are there on Spotify, we are there on Apple Podcasts, and of course on Pocket Casts as well. This is all the time we have for in what is turning out to be a fantastic climax to a fantastic title race. In the meantime, this is Sadiq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.